Log Talk Radio.
Welcome again to this live podcast discussion of 2019 Council of Arts candidate, Ruben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us again. If you're following us on Facebook Live, feel free to post your question and or comment so that we can engage those and share them with our audience. If you don't necessarily have to give your name, and if you don't mind, we'd love to know what part of Davidson County you're calling from, and the number, most importantly, we would love for you to call us right here in the studio at 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. What we're going to do is going to open up our conversation here. We have a specific conversational thread, topic, but this is really about you, and it's your opportunity to pose questions to me, candidate. I don't believe that people should vote in the blind, and I believe that it's for the sake of open transparency that candidates should be willing to engage. This is one of the ways in which my campaign has set up for us to have some conversation outside of our traditional campaigning, where we'll be coming to your areas at various times, having various events. I'm going to direct you to my website. That would be constituentadvocacy.com. Again, that's constituentadvocacy.com. There's where you can find all the pertinent information about our schedule. Contact information for me, and if you don't mind, I'm going to just kind of guide you there a little bit at the homepage. Opportunity to meet me, the candidate. I'm Ruben Dockery. Again, I'm running for Metro Council at Large in the August 1st, 2019 election, general election. You can also see what my platform is, and I have uploaded some things already. One thing I like to do is to have you, when you go to the website, that again is constituentadvocacy.com. When you get there, you'll see several links. Under the tab that says Candidate Platform, you'll see another link under that that says Campaign Resources. And it is there that you will be able to see the presentation I've promise to share with you on education. We will be soon uploading the other one related to, economic development is there now. We will soon be uploading one remaining to education as well as public safety. All right? So I want to encourage you to go check that out, as well as you can go and see our previous live stream Facebook videos from the last two episodes, one on May 24th and the other one on May 31st. This is our third of a series, and we'll be intend to upload all of those for you to go back. Of course, you'll have to open it up in Facebook, so when you open it up, be prepared to open your Facebook to get that particular link to that episode, and they're roughly about 45 minutes. Okay? The point is, again, to be open and to inform voters, okay? All right, now that we got, and of course, we want you to consider making a contribution. It helps to be able to get our message out to the greater Nashville, Davidson County area, and we intend to come to your area in this very short period of time. August 1st will be here before you know it, really less than 2 months. We have to reach out to all of you, but we're grateful for the opportunity. I'm happy to present myself as a citizen servant. All right? With that being said, what I want to do is, again, encourage you to give us a call here. Give me a call. We've got another maybe 30, 40 minutes or so before we wrap up for tonight. Give me a call here at 657-383-0944. And let's talk. Let's have a conversation about what's going on in Nashville, Davidson County. I want to thank those who followed us last week. We didn't have any direct calls, but hopefully tonight we will. And again, this is for you. That's what it's intended for. It's part of our campaign promise to be open and transparent. This is one of the ways in which we are aiming to do so. That being said, let me go ahead and get into the meat of the discussion tonight that we had planned. Now, one of the most troubling issues in Nashville today is that of the status, circumstances of our public school district. Saying that without identifying any one individual, what's most important is our children are affected by it. As a parent of two children who came up in metro schools, and as a former public school educator myself, teaching special ed on the high school level, I know how difficult it is for teachers to come in and to hold their head up and to do the very best that they can to educate our children. So I'm not necessarily blaming the teachers. There's a tendency to point the finger at parents. Say, it's the parents' fault that they did such and such. Right now, I'm not going to place blame on the parents. What I'm going to say is the breakdown is with the adults being able to communicate and to be able to identify what is best and work collaboratively with one another on each level. Of course, we have an elected body there, the school board. The council provides funding for our school board according to the Metro Charter. Okay? And while the Metro Council has no control over the deliberative process of that elected body, the school board, there is an opportunity to have some influence. What I'm sharing with you tonight is, as a prospective council at large member, I would love to work with all of the 35 council members, district, the other four council at large individuals, bring the right recipe for our parents to be engaged and empowered. I mean all of us. As a parent and as an educator, as an advocate for people, I understand the importance of that. But what I want to talk about tonight is how we can frame the context of parent empowerment and their partnership in the public education process. No one has to feel as though they're threatened or that they're under the microscope. Again, what we all are working toward is the best interest of the 80-some thousand young people that are in metro schools. Okay? That's what's most important at the end of the day. So let's do it this way. Let me just kind of share with you a little bit from a presentation, and you'll find this on my website. Find this on my website, as I said, under campaign resources. What I want to do is to look at, essentially, tonight, the education priorities, what it is that, as a council large person, I will be doing. There are three primary focuses that I have. One of them is education, to help bolster and build the increase or improve the educational process overall for our children and our families and everybody involved, all the stakeholders involved. Now, in this presentation that you'll find, pattern on the website, excuse me, you'll see a sample. This is a case study, if you will, of a high school. Some of you may know that I ran for council in the council district 1 when I resided in that council district. There for over 13 years. And one of the high schools there, great people, great graduates, went on to do great things. It was on the focus on the priority list for the state. Now, as you know, there are several schools on the priority list, unfortunately. And the goal is to be able to help our children to improve academically, demonstrate proficiency and mastery. We can turn that around as we work with administrators and with educators and all of the like. So the intention of mentioning this school or its statistical indicators is not to in any way slam it, okay? But as again used as a case study. Some of these things are changed because the year was in 2015. That was just 4 years ago. But unfortunately, some of the data is too close for comfort. The most important thing is I want to look at the fact that in certain schools, there is a significant concern with improving graduation rate overall, okay, as well as the dropout rate. We really have to look at this thing from a cluster perspective, as Metro has designed some years ago, where you have your high school, you have your middle schools, and you have your elementary school. How is it that we can build that type of community-based support for education so that on all three of those levels, our children can do well as they are promoted from one level to the next? What we know is that there's a strong chance that if a young person does not successfully pass through the eighth grade level, they go into high school having repeated or failed at least one or two grades, that there's a strong chance they would drop out of high school. What can we do for that? What can we do to help parents address that? Disciplinary issues that we see in public schools. These are our babies. They're our babies. And that's why we have every reason to be invested in it. The expulsion rate. Now, what has happened is many children are, the system has been able to avoid suspending them and exposing them, failing them by placing them in alternative schools. But we just recently saw that some of these school resource officers quit left certain schools because the alternative schools obviously were still having issues. So, Dr., how do you fix that? What will you do as a counselor, large person, to address that? Well, very frankly, there are three things that I want you to consider. One is with focused parent engagement. We help parents understand what's expected, not only of them, but what they can expect from the school district and from the state, what the benchmarks are, what their children should be learning at various levels of their academic growth from kindergarten up. Okay, that will help them determine what other resources are necessary and needed. Well, what I'm proposing is that working collaboratively with both government and private business entities, and some would argue we got that already. Well, I would counter that argument. If it was that good, we wouldn't be where we are today. So I'm looking at really examining where we are and what we have to do that, okay, to build focused parent empowerment. I believe that that can best be done by finding ways to plant, fund, and sustain 21st Century Community Learning Centers. Now, the State Department of Education does have a 21st Century Community grant process. What I want to do is to look at moving up, as well as working in Metro Council, moving up on the state and local and federal level, find resources that will meet the needs, as well as working with, collaboratively, again, the business industry. All right? Then what we want to do is to foster supportive mechanisms for academic enrichment, not only in the school walls, but in the community as a whole. And I believe that following the model of a Bolivian educator, Paulo Freire, that community-based learning is significant and that it is the social experience of parents, their children, that really serves as the greatest drive. We can tap into that. That's a powerful resource. But what I'm looking at doing is building collaborative partnerships, methodologies that will enable us to be able to effectively provide that across Davidson County. Not all schools or school districts, or I should say school clusters, are having the same issues. But let's be very honest about it. There are some schools on the state priority list. And there's a reason they're on there, right? And the question is, what can we do to circumvent that, change that? That's what's most important, right? And again, let's not look for feeling indicted. Let's not look for blame. Let's not look for anybody that we can be mad at today. Let's look at how we can change this. Give me a call, 657-383-0944. 657-383-0944. Post your question, comment here on Facebook, and I'd love to respond to that. So, again, those three things are focus, parent, engagement, and involvement. Okay? I know some people will say, we got that already. I understand. I get it. Let's see how we can improve on it, okay? We can make it useful, actually productive for everybody. Okay? I understand you got it already. From the position of a counselor large person, we want to make sure everybody gets it, okay, and everybody benefits. We can document the success of that, right? Then we want to look at creating 21st century community learning centers. Now, can you imagine a young boy? When I was running for office, there was a young man that I ran into the East Nashville area. I was running for state senate. I was campaigning heavily in that area. Stopped to take a restroom break and found him at a Kroger's in a rather precarious situation. On his way to juvenile, if not hurt, because he was with another young man that was actually hurling threats and things of that nature at people. I stopped my campaign because I could not, even though it was important that I knock on doors, I could not. My conscience wouldn't allow me to stop, keep on going and not address that. Make a long story short, I was able to meet he and his mom, and it's my intention to reach out and even work further. But I said all that to say that the reality is there are great opportunities and there are tremendous needs to reach these young people. Young man obviously was bright, in need of some guidance and support, right? Good people. Had several siblings and what have you in a similar situation. There's an opportunity. There's an opportunity. While I was campaigning this last time, I was interviewed by a seventh grader who challenged me on what I was going to do as a state senator. Wow. I was happy. So the background was I had my tent and everything set up, and I had a microphone and a speaker. Some of the children were under the tent, and they were playing around. They had an opportunity to speak on the microphone. Well, this young man, when he finally got it, he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to interview you. He proceeded to put me on the carpet about what was it I was going to do, and I'm glad to be able to respond to him. While campaigning yet again, had an opportunity to meet a young man and his mom, 18 years old, first time voting, and he assured me that he cast a vote for me. While I appreciate that, I understand how tremendous, again, both the need and opportunity is to be focused about reaching those young people. All of them, what they share in common is they have the greatest potential. It is the adults, stakeholders, and responsible people who should be making sure that we provide the best quality education. My contention is that the person that has the greatest interest in that parent, which is why tonight we're talking about how parents can get the most out of public school. A lot of people, I hear the conversation on a regular basis, all this money in Nashville, why can't we compensate our teachers? Why can't we fill the gaps for the services and resources needed in our schools? Well, the truth is that that's true. What is missing, I believe, is the will. Where the adage, where there's a will, there is a way. All right? Okay. Well, I still got a few more minutes here. 657-383-0944. You may call here. Love to entertain your question or comment. And again, please do me a favor. Go to my website, constituentadvocacy.com. Constituentadvocacy.com. When you get there, check us out. Understand what it is we're aiming to do. But I need your support. I need your financial support. Make a contribution on our secure site there, NNDOT. Your secure site there. They specialize in political campaign, things of that nature. All right? That's at constituentadvocacy.com, the website. And I want to reiterate the fact that we intentionally named it that, not my name, because it's really about you, the constituent. That's my view. Okay? Please share this this video after tonight's conversation and dialogue. I'm here. It's for you. So not too late. You're following me on Facebook. Go ahead. Pick up the phone right now. Dial the number 657-383-0944. No questions barred. If I don't have the answer, I'm going to say I don't know that. I'm going to get back with you on it. I'll go try to find the answer as best I can, okay? Because we'll be back next Friday. We'll be doing this every Friday from now until the 26th of July. We won't have that Friday of the 4th of July. We won't be having an episode. But then following Friday, the 12th, I believe that is, July, we will. We'll continue on with different topics there. You can go to the webpage on the homepage. You'll see that schedule, and you'll be able to follow us there, right? Again, you can go back and click on there and hear the whole show in its entirety of the podcast. And or you can go on that website, go to the platform link. Underneath it, you'll see campaign resources. There you'll be able to access the from Facebook. You have to open it from Facebook, the video of the live stream that was aired that particular night for that episode. All right? But then there's a phone number there. I'd like for you to join the campaign. Give us a call, shoot us a text, or an email, and let me know where I can come to meet you. Again, my whole point is about transparency. I see a lot of, I'm not a politician. I know I'm in a political process, don't get me wrong. I understand that this is a political race. I get that. But I'm not a politician in the real sense, in that I'm working as an advocate for voters, for constituents all across Houston County. Okay? That's my intention. I've been here 32 years, have seen good and not so good. I know that I've voted for people, and I've been pushing and asking and begging, like you, for certain change and proactive steps. Unfortunately, we hadn't got it. Okay? We don't need anybody who's trying to figure out what to do that's going to get elected and wait on things to come to them. That's why we're sharing with you what our vision is, what our priorities are. In addition to working with the other 35 councilmen, councilpersons to address their specific issues in their district, council large person, I want to be proactive about looking at how we can bring balance to various neighborhoods that are struggling, that are having different issues, different reasons. All right? This is Reuben Dockery, your 2019 council large candidate. We are on now, having dialogue, talking tonight specifically of how parents get the most out of schools. Those are your schools. They belong to you. Huh? They belong to you. As a taxpaying citizen, they're there to serve you and your children. And I'm confident that we can improve on that. Yeah, we got some hiccups, we got some problems. But I'm confident that we can get that fixed. Not something that's not doable or can't resolve, especially if we put our heads together. Okay? So the number is 657-3309-44. Still have a little time. You want to give us a call here. I'll be happy to entertain your question or comment. If you have a question or comment on Facebook, shoot that to me now, and we will address that. I don't see anything as of yet. But if you're following us again on live stream, just shoot your question or comment there, and I'll be happy to respond. If you just want to follow us, that's okay too. Perfectly fine. The purpose of this, again, is to provide transparency and information to our voters in the interest of being able to move forward. I want you to know what you can expect from me, the council. Okay? Won't be just going there to chill and kick back, going there to work on your behalf. And tonight, again, we've been talking about one of the primary priorities, focuses for me. And we're looking at offering legislation via resolution that will guarantee the whole council will be working together these priorities. So there are others who have ideas, and together we can work through them. We can look at what's best, and we can get it done. Okay? But again, the point here is that one of my primary priorities, we're going to talk about another one for next Friday. The one we're speaking about tonight is relative to education. But more specifically, the topic is how parents get most out of schools. Okay. Again, when you go to the website, which is constituentadvocacy.com, you will be able to see this particular presentation that we are offering tonight on our website. Click, go over to the candidate platform, and underneath it, there's another link that says campaign resources. We're going to be putting a PowerPoint slide show on relative specifically to the educational issue as well as public safety. But already now you can find our Nashville Economic Empowerment Agenda that is there. There's a slide presentation there for you. And you can go and recap the previous shows there. Okay. So, as I said, I'm happy to respond to your questions. I know that there's some events coming up. Let me just kind of, speaking of which, let me go over some of the things that we'll be doing in the coming days here for the campaign. Perhaps I'll see you at these events. I will be next week in the Donaldson Hermitage area. their neighborhood cannabis form. 6:30 p.m. at the Hermitage Police Precinct. The address is 3701 James K. Lane, Hermitage, Tennessee. On the 25th, we will be, there are some other events that perhaps we don't have here. But on the 25th, there was scheduled a Davidson County Young Democrat candidates forum. They rescheduled that to July the 9th, I believe it is. But nonetheless, there's another event that we will be attending there. July 10th will be at Vanderbilt University, where there will be a Meet the Candidate picnic from 11:30 to 1 p.m. at the Recreation Wellness Center on Vanderbilt campus. Love to see you there. I look forward to there, and we'll be posting up a little booth there. So love to engage you and directly see you. On the 11th, we'll be at the Bellevue Harvest Center, where we will be talking with that group, the Chamber of Commerce there, about the SA Candidate Forum. And that is at National Christian School. Address is 7555 Sawyer Brown Road, right? And then we know that the early voting schedule opens up. Now, relative to the early voting, I plan to have a series of rallies at the various locations, and I want you to look forward to seeing that. Following us on the website, we'll tend to do some promotions, those things. So I want you to be able to come out and meet us then. Cast your vote. I am asking for your vote, for your support, for council at large, the council at large, on August the 1st, 2000. Our efforts are paid for by the DOPU for Metro Council campaign. And we're grateful that all of you are considering it. We've responded to a number of surveys and groups and what have you. But most importantly, I'm interested in you and engaging you. So with that being said, we still have just a little bit more time. I don't see where anyone has posted a question or comment. Okay, we got a call here. We got a call here from, I'll go with the number, 314-4644. Welcome to
the
special.
What are you running for?
I'm running for Metro Council.
Oh, I thought it was a school board.
No, not school board. Actually, we're talking about the school board, but that's a part of our whole campaign platform. Metro Council is our city government here in Nashville, Davidson County. We have 35 councilmatic seats and 5 council at large seats. I'm running for
35.
Yeah.
How big is your city?
We have a population of about 600. I think the 15 census estimate was about now 650 some thousand residents. Davidson County.
Well, I tell you, you in Shelby County, right? Maybe.
No,
Mason
I'm
County.
In Davidson. I'm in Davidson County.
Is that Steve Cohen's district?
Steve Cohen. I believe that is.
You're in Nashville. He's in Memphis.
We're in Nashville. Who is our? You know, you asked me, so I can't tell you who is our U.S. Rep. Jim Cooper. Cooper is our 5th Congressional District. Yes, we're in the 5th Congressional District.
Yeah, Cohen's in the 9th. Well, you know, I don't know what they're doing in Nashville, but as far as education is concerned, I hope that more school districts start implementing school choice with vouchers where parents can put their child in the environment that they feel is best for them, rather than keeping them locked into those traditional settings that don't produce the type of numbers in areas that's needed.
So That's interesting you say that. That's another contentious issue here in Davidson County, because the state legislature just passed a voucher bill, and it was signed by the governor. And the concern that many have is that it's going to pull those resources away from the traditional public schools and create a new competition. One way to look at it is that way. Then there's another way to consider that for the parents, that is the, one of the opportunities for them to choose. But here's the challenge. There are not many private schools. I don't know if that parents are really prepared, some parents, because the way they have it set up, the only district that they're allowing it to be to take place in is Davidson County and Shelby, where you have the most schools on the priority list. So it's not open to the whole state.
Well, if you have the option, the institutions will come, and also the parents should get the should work to create institutions with that specialize in certain educational fields, whether it's medicine, whether it's technology, or whatever, aviation.
Well, I appreciate that, because, caller, one of the things that I am reporting with our 21st Century Community Learning Centers is that there's an opportunity to place tutorials as well as educationally driven activities. On another podcast show that I have, we talked about how you can have young people come in and do flight assimilations and
absolutely.
Robotics,
you know who's doing the, you know who's doing the flight simulation? I want you to write this down. You got a pencil?
Okay. Go ahead.
Tell me
go
when
ahead.
You're ready. It's called Oakland Youth. Oakland Youth.
Okay.
It's out there in Oakland, California.
Okay.
And the guy's name is Mr. Matthews, M-A-T-H-E-W-S. You go on the internet
right.
and contact him, and that's what they do is prepare, bring them kids in, and they have opportunity to sit behind a flight simulator.
Interesting. Wow.
And they also have opportunity to get on boats so they
okay.
can begin
wow.
To learn the maritime industry.
Interesting. Now, I mean, if I might, there's a certain population of young people, particularly those that are going to our alternative schools and those who dropped out, I believe that will most benefit from that. It's going to take a little bit more working on the soft skills, the behavior and so forth, but I'm convinced as an educator that when they're challenged right and they have the right basis of support, they can become some of our engineers. They can be some of our STEM successes can come from there. There are opportunities there. And so those are the type of things across Davidson County that I foresee us being able to benefit from. So that's
well,
point.
do you have a NSBE chapter? I know you do have one. In
Nashville,
in,
I think
National Society of Black Engineers.
Right. I want to say that Tennessee State may have one, but I don't want to say that for certain. But I know they have an engineering school, and they've been doing some pretty good things over there.
Because, they've had a conference there in Nashville. Now, let me tell you something. Those
okay.
are the ones you want to hook up with your young kids.
Sure.
And you can start them kids yeah. off as early as the third grade
all right.
in STEM fields.
Okay.
And what you do is mm-hmm. do this. You see how those kids go out for football and they go through them combines?
Right.
And them combines are designed to do what? To see who can run the best, who can throw the best, jump the highest. Well, you do the same thing with the young children. Acclimate them and expose them until you see where they have a natural talent in one of those STEM fields. And that's where you start directing that child.
Yeah. That's an excellent point. That's one of the things that I mentioned earlier as I was laying out this conversation, and that is from the elementary school to the middle school to the high school level, what we can build within the school clusters is what you're talking about. But it's not so much in the school as we're talking about within the community, in the neighborhood, and when parents parents are educated and empowered, I'm convinced that parents want the best for their children, even if they don't know how to get it or reach those goals.
Well, yeah,
they
do. And there's a demand for black STEM professionals because the NSBE's last three conventions, 2017, 2018, and just the one which ended March the 31st in Detroit.
Okay.
In 17 and 18, Northrop Grumman hired 400 young black STEM graduates right off the floor, 2 years in a row, plus the other thousands that were hired. In Detroit, they had over 15,000 in attendance. Lockheed hired over 400, plus the other thousands that were hired by other corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that there is a good thing, but we need more.
Right. You know, when I see young guys in the streets who are on the periphery of society and facing the criminal justice system, I see potential. I know that's a bad thing, but I see potential. And I'm convinced that when there's a will for the right people to tap into their best potential, that they can turn that thing around and they can become productive citizens of society and the world abroad. And that's just my goal. I mean, that may be a pipe dream for me or a utopia, some might argue. But I'm going to stick with it.
Well, you get them stimulators. Matter of fact, airlines will give you stimulators. I don't know, you don't have no branch of Boeing there in Tennessee, but I know in St. Louis they do, and out there in California they do. But them corporations will give you what you need in order to start directing those children into those fields. American Airlines had a deal down in Dallas, Texas for avionics that they was introducing to some African American kids. So,
okay, great point. I appreciate those ideas because what's most important is when we have this engagement. We have over 300 some churches in Nashville. One of the things I look forward to doing as a counselor large person is tapping into that resource, and these are the type of conversations that I'm confident will lead to turning this thing around academically for all of us.
That's right. Because the Department of Labor have said that they're going to be short 400,000 commercial pilots. The military will be short 12,000 pilots. So we need to start getting black kids ready for that. And another thing, on this thing about school choice, it doesn't take the money from the district. In many cases, it doesn't take all the money that's allocated per child. But when it takes some, and then I think it should take whatever it figures out per child. You know, it may be $15,000 a year. Well, that should go to their parent. They don't have a child to work with.
Right. Actually, according to the legislature or the bill that was just passed recently, I believe it's $7,500 that they're allowed to use. And the thing is, they report.
Were they talking about charter schools?
No. We're talking about the voucher, the recent voucher bill that was passed.
Yeah. I bet if you look at what's called the average daily attendance. In other words, what they do is take the entire revenue of the school district, and they divide it by the number of students in the school district, and that's basically what each student has toward their education and everything else, running the bill and so forth.
I get you.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm gonna let you get back to your show.
We appreciate you. Appreciate you calling.
All right. All right then.
And thank you again for your input there.
Absolutely. Talk to you later.
Yes, sir. So we're about to wrap it up here. You've been listening to this dialogue with 2019 Counselor at Large candidate Reuben Dockery. Grateful to be able to share with you what our vision is for improving the quality of life for all in Davidson County. We've made reference to African Americans. That's certainly a population that deserves and needs attention. But we want to do that for all of our children across Davidson County. And what I want you to do is I want you to go to my website, constituentadvocacy.com. And I want you to really look at that. I'm going to have this proposal posted on the website. When you go there, look under, it's not quite up yet, but we will have it coming soon. Look under the platform, and then there's another link there that says campaign resources. You can catch all those things. There will be at least three different presentations, slide presentations, for you to fully get the understanding of what our vision is and what sort of legislation we will be moving toward trying to get there. But I also need your help. So make a contribution today, right there on the website. You will see on every page, you'll see it says online giving. Give as much as you can. Help us get the word out to all of our constituents. This is your candidate, Reuben Dockery, for Council at Large, August 1st, 2019. Coming right upon us. We're grateful for all of you that have followed us on Facebook. You've been listening to Weather Report by Birdland. And as we leave you tonight, again, I want you to keep us in mind and look for us in the coming weeks to come to your area and to share with you. There are several events that we'll be participating in there. So we look forward to seeing Reuben Dockery, Council at Large candidate for Metro Council, August 1st, 2019. Thank you again for your participation tonight, and we're going to leave with that and have you to join us later on next Friday, 7 o'clock p.m., for another dialogue with Reuben Dockery, 2019 candidate for Council.